Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is from Proverbs chapter 25. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end? When your neighbor puts you to shame, argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill input have no end. A word filthy spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold in a wise rapport to the listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful message to those who send him. He refreshes the souls of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. This is the word of the Lord. Now please read along with me the Catechetical Review, the Ten Commandments, the Third Commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching of his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. The epistle reading for this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, argue you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had a dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose to place of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you may be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame and take the lowest place. But when you are invited to go, sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is based upon the gospel lesson where we read, "And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?'" This is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you will remember the TV show Father Knows Best. It goes back a long, long way, doesn't it? I believe it was in black and white. But the story was of this family, and situations would arise, and in the end, Father knew best. His wisdom, which his kids didn't like, always proved out to be the right wisdom. Well, our Heavenly Father also knows what is best for us. It proves out that God's wisdom is better than our wisdom. So we then trust God's wisdom in our lives. We trust His wisdom over our wisdom. Jesus is dining in the house of a Pharisee, a ruler of the Pharisees. Now, why the Pharisees would invite Jesus to dine with them is a question, because we know that Jesus and the Pharisees, Jesus and the spiritual leaders of Israel, were constantly sparring with one another. But no doubt, they wanted to come and trick him. It says that they were watching him closely. They wanted something to get rid of this Jesus. There is a man there who had dropsy. Now, dropsy is a condition we would call edema, fluid buildup. That can be caused by a weak heart or bad kidneys or something like that, but it's very hard on the heart and lungs. And Jesus asked the question, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?"
We remember how the Pharisees had built all these rules and regulations around everything. And they had built these rules and regulations also around the Sabbath day. Jesus asked the question, is it lawful for a man to pull his ox out of a well on the Sabbath day? Well, we know that if a situation arises on the Sabbath day, we need to take care of it. That's what God would want. But these Pharisees, some said you could, others said you couldn't. And that brings us to God's law, the third commandment here specifically, but all God's law. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? He gave us the Ten Commandments as a guide to show us what is best for our way of living. Now we, in our own wisdom, often chafe at the wisdom of God, do we not? Our wisdom, we think, might be better than God's wisdom. Also concerning the Sabbath day. Why did God give the Sabbath day? Why did Moses present the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It says that men are to work for 6 days and on the seventh day they are to rest. This gives both man and beast opportunity to rest from the physical activity that they were engaged in throughout the week. But more importantly, it gave the children of Israel that opportunity to reflect on their relationship with God. It gave them spiritual rest, to think of all the great things God had done for them. But the Pharisees had turned it into works righteousness. If we do all these things, including all these things around the Sabbath day, don't work, don't walk more than so many feet, etc., you will keep the Sabbath day and please God and you will be saved. It was this works righteousness that the Pharisees are criticized all the time for. They believe that they can save themselves by their obedience to God. And they created all these rules and regulations to make sure that they were obedient to God. And then they could pat themselves on the back. Am I doing okay, Scott? Oh, okay. I saw him wave. I don't know if he was waving at me or not. They put all these rules and regulations in place so they could earn their salvation. Works righteousness is ingrained in all of us. We want to save ourselves. That's just part of the human nature. And so it is tempting for us Christians to also think we can save ourselves by our obedience to the third commandment. If I go to church, if I contribute to church, if I serve the church, I am pleasing God and I will therefore be saved. Sometimes we make rules and regulations concerning worship. We have to do this or we have to do that, and if we're not doing this or that, we're not worshiping right, and so we're displeasing God. It's ironic that for the catechism review today, you had the third commandment, and we're talking about the third commandment. It couldn't have worked out any better. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. What does Luther say? What is important? That we do not despise the word of God, but gladly hear and learn it. Do we have to have all these traditions around our worship to worship right? Or do these traditions help us worship? Our creed. We speak a creed every Sunday, usually the Apostles' or the Nicene Creed. Is there any place in Scripture where the creed is commanded for worship? No. But the church has been confessing the creed for centuries. Is it beneficial? Yes. We speak the faith that each one of us has. We speak that faith to one another. And our faith is strengthened by speaking the creed. Is it beneficial to have the creeds in the worship service? Yes. So we maintain that tradition because it's helpful. But could there be some traditions that we say, we kind of like to say, we have to do these things to worship correctly. We have to be careful that we don't fall into this works righteous trap. Article 7 of the Augsburg Confession says this, "For it is sufficient for the true unity of the Christian church that the gospel be preached in conformity with the pure understanding of it and the sacraments be administered in accordance with the divine word. It is not necessary for the true unity of the Christian church that ceremonies instituted by men should be observed uniformly in all places." So the question is, do the traditions that we have formed, do they help us keep our focus on Christ? Or do we do them so that we can please God and earn our own salvation? What about our hymns? Well, we sing those hymns that are doctrinally correct because they build up our faith. So what about us? Do we follow our own wisdom or God's wisdom in worship? Do we speak of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus? Now we know that not only are the Ten Commandments a guide on how we should live before God, but they also are that mirror which shows our sin. And as we talk about the third commandment, we recognize our sinfulness, that we have despised God's word at times. We need his forgiveness. And the gospel focuses on that forgiveness that we have through Christ Jesus. We see what God has done for us. Even in our sin, God sends his Son to earth for us. He sheds his blood for us. He dies that we might live, and by faith in him we have forgiveness and everlasting life. The law, as the mirror, shows us that we need a Savior. Having received that Savior by the power of the Holy Spirit, believing in him, we now use the law as a guide, which shows us how to live. We trust that guide as it is God's wisdom and not our wisdom. So we see then that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God didn't create us so that we would keep the Sabbath, but rather he gave us the Sabbath that we might keep our focus on Christ and the gifts that Christ gives us, forgiveness, life, and salvation. So we trust God's wisdom, not our wisdom. Jesus goes on with this parable then about the place of honor. When you go to a banquet, don't go first and sit at the place, the highest places of honor, because someone more important is going to come in and you're going to have to be humiliated in front of everyone and go to the back of the line. Rather, sit in the back of the line so that the host will bring you forward and show you honor and recognition. And there again, what is the place of honor in our lives? is it wrong for us to have people recognize the benefits that we give to them? Is it wrong to be recognized for the service that we render to others? Personally, as a pastor, I like it when people at the end of the service say, "Pastor, that sermon meant a lot to me today." I like that pat on the back. It means that I at least got through to some people. But am I preaching the sermon so that I will get a pat on the back? Or am I preaching the sermon that I might proclaim the word of God? Well, honestly, sometimes it's the former and not the latter. And then that is sinful, isn't it? Sometimes we seek honor for the sake of receiving honor, not in service to God. We confess that sin. At the same time, we recognize the value of other people in our lives, and we give them thanks and honor and praise. I kind of think Mother's Day and Father's Day and recognizing birthdays is a good thing, to tell those people around us that we love them and we thank them for their gifts. But we always have to be careful that we're thanking them for the way they serve God by serving others. We want to be imitators of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, the Son of God. The very Son of God who should come in glory and honor and be praised. But what did he do? He came in humility. He humbled himself even to the point of death, that we might have forgiveness, life, and salvation. He was obedient to death that we might have life. And having been brought to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, we now want to serve him by serving others around us. So we humbly serve, not to receive praise and honor, but to honor God by our gifts of love and sacrifice to others. And we recognize that God will see our good works, see our service to others, and will give us a pat on the back. Matthew 25, the last day when Jesus comes, he will raise the dead. And for those who believe, he will say, "Look at your works. You went to the prison, you visited the sick, you reached out and helped others." And the Christians will say, "When did we do this? When you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me." And so God the Father will recognize our good works. Christ sees us as we seek to serve one another. But we seek to serve one another, not to receive that pat on the back, but to thank God for the gift of salvation he has given us, to be little Christ to one another, not for that honor and glory himself. Our God does know best. We can trust his will for us. He gave us the Sabbath day to focus on the gifts that he has done. He will recognize our good works done in love to him and love to our neighbor. But we don't do those good works to earn our salvation. We do them in response to the gift of salvation we have. So we as Christians seek God's wisdom. We know that his wisdom is better than our wisdom. We follow his guide and we place him above all things. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.